We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Courtside with Christine Gabe right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. I am Christy Winter Scott, joined as always by my guy, Gabe Ibrahim. And Gabe, your Washington Mystics, our Washington Mystics, the Washington Mystics are 3-0 to start the season in spite of a lot of adverse situations.
It's been very impressive. Also, I want to say on this podcast, my team is the Miami Heat. I just want to make it very clear. That's why I'm wearing I got my pink and my blues kind of vice colors. The Heat are the East Coast Finals for a second year time in 3 years. Bernie's really happy. Dwayne Wade's really happy.
Just wanted
to clarify that on way here, I'm objective about the WNBA. About the NBA, right. It's all about the Heat. But I mean, the Mystics have been wildly impressive. It's been awesome to watch up close. I mean, you're calling all the games. So we get to see this in live action, and it's been just wonderful. And before we get into the Mystics, though, just like make sure you're subscribed here on the YouTube channel. Make sure you're subscribed on all your podcast apps. You can follow us on Twitter. Our names might pop up. I'm not entirely sure how I'm doing that, but it's okay. They just look below. The names will be there. Follow at Her Hoop Stats. Follow Spread_the_Floor. That's our betting platform. We have a YouTube channel too. So do all that stuff. But most importantly, what you got to do is be paying attention to the Washington Mystics because they've been unbelievable. What have you general reaction to what's happened in these first three games for them?
I think it's cultural. I think that this team, they're all on the same page. They have all bought into being defensive minded. Mm-hmm. When they veer off of that focus, they can come back to it right away. And you saw that in the game against Las Vegas when they were down by 13 at halftime. And then, you know, we were asking, hey, what was the magic sauce at halftime? What did you say? What was the flip of the switch, et cetera? And it basically boiled down to, hey, we need to follow the game plan. That's what Mike Tebow said. That's what he told us. Hey, we were off of that. And against Las Vegas, they have, you know, two left-handed starters, two right-handed starters, and one that can use both pretty well. So they were trying to force those players to use their non-dominant hand, and they didn't see that in the first half. In the second half, they saw more of that. They kept Hamby off the glass a little bit better, no second-chance opportunities, and they turned Vegas over. I believe it was 16 turnovers turned into 19 points, and that was the biggest difference of the game. And you know, you're really seeing the maturation of Rui Machida, but also Katie Benzen, as we are saying now, Benzanity.
So
a little Vince Carter, the New York, what's the man's name?
Linsanity.
Linsanity.
Jeremy Lin. That's the one. Shouts right. Jeremy Lin.
There you go. Yeah, shout out Jeremy. But it was, that's Alicia Clark coined that for Katie Benson, who Mike Tebow said, hey, if we had space on the roster, she would definitely have a permanent spot. So that is high praise for coming in late to training camp and then sticking, and not only sticking, but having 12 points or, you know, in a game against Las Vegas and just really playing with some high level confidence. So it was really fun to see. But I think at the end of the day, the Mystics, like the defensive pride on that side of the court, I think has been the biggest difference in this 3-game win streak to start the season.
Yeah. And, you know, we got to talk about Katie Benson, obviously. Katie's a favorite of them courtside for the entire time we've been doing this podcast. Episode 75, by the way.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Oh, cheers to that.
We'll have to do something for episode 100, whenever that's going to be.
Definitely.
It'll be probably like towards the end of the season, but we'll do something for that.
Yeah.
But with Katie, I mean, like, I think she's a symptom of what you're talking about, that culture of this team, the idea that everyone's going to step up and just do their job. And I think, you know, like you mentioned, Katie did come in late for camp, and I asked Mike Tebow, like, did you see this happening? She scored 12 points against the Las Vegas Aces, which was more than Asia Wilson and Chelsea Gray combined.
See?
A lot of noise right there. That statistic, but
that's a lot of noise.
But it's like, that's a really cool thing that she's going to be able to say forever. But I think, you know, one of the other quotes that I got about Katie that I think shows that cultural aspect of the Mystics was Elena Deledon said that one day she came into training camp on the first day that Katie was signed, and Elena has to get there super early to get her body ready. There's a lot of training stuff. So she's there pretty much the first person in the building, last person to leave. That's not just Elena. That's like both for her rehab and just the type of leader that she is, right?
Right.
And she said that when she got there, there was someone bouncing the ball and shooting in the gym. And she was like, what's happening? And then she kept going and kept going and kept going. Finally, she went out there and she looked, and it was Katie Benson. And she was concerned that Katie Benson was going to shoot her arm off before her first WNBA practice. Yeah. And it's just like, that type of person is exactly the type of person that the Mystics want. And it's the type of people that they have this year. That sort of, you know, every team works really hard. I don't want to diminish what everyone else does. I just think that sort of culture of getting yourself better every single day, putting in that work, putting in those extra hours, putting in those times where you feel like you're going to shoot your arm off, right? That's what this Mystics team is all about. And it comes from Katie Benson. It comes from Elena Deledon. It comes from Natasha Cloud. And it comes from Alicia Clark. I mean, 3-0 to start the season with Natasha Cloud missing a game, Elena Deledon missing a game. Alicia Clark has yet to play, although she's going to play a night against the Dallas Wings, which is so exciting. It's just so exciting. Yeah. Elizabeth Williams is still in Europe playing. So
right. This
team is going to get better in talent-wise. And maybe that means Katie's not around, but I think Katie's going to stick around in you know, like you're saying, like she's going to be around for this team for a while, I think. And, you know, I think she's just a symptom of everything we've talked about. And to get into more of like the basketball stuff, defensively, the thing I've seen the most is Elena Deledon is bouncy, right? Like, am I just like wishful thinking here, but she looks bouncier. She looks more explosive on defense. Her rim protection was huge. She won the post battle with Asia Wilson, which is not crazy for the best player in the world. Just her defense was so impressive. Did you see that too?
Absolutely. And it was the timing and the positioning defensively down in the paint that really was disruptive to Asia Wilson. I mean, he had two MVP caliber players. Elena has two of them. Wilson got one down the bubble MVPs in the league. So, I mean, you have some really staunch competitors when you're talking about those two. But I thought, obviously, with Washington winning, that Deledon had the edge in that matchup. But I know, you know, Asia Wilson blocked Elena Deledon. If you're watching this and you're a Vegas fan, it's like, well, she blocked Deledon's shots. She did. And she's supposed to do that. Like, that's who she is. But at the end of the day, I think Deledon stayed in her rhythm offensively a little bit better than Asia did. So then you have to tip your cap to Elena Deledon for disrupting Wilson the way that she did, forcing tough shots to be taken by her, keeping her off the glass, but also having a couple blocks herself. And I think Mike Tebow said this, and I don't know if it was this year or last year, but I remember he said, you know, we're missing Elena Deledon in a lot of different ways, but she's a good shot blocker. Yes. Like, people don't talk about that enough. she has great timing, great anticipation. She stays vertical, and she had some really timely blocks that were necessary to make that push for Washington to get that win. So it was pretty impressive, obviously.
Yeah, and she was also sturdy, which is great to see because, you know, the back injury kind of, I think, took a little bit away from that last year when we did get to watch her play in those three games. Just wasn't as sturdy, not as strong to stay in the post. And now it's like, you know, she is stronger. She is just in better shape. And she actually said that. She was like, sometimes I jump and I'm like, man, I'm higher than I used to be because she's worked on that, on her body so much. And, you know, I think it just goes to show like how hard of a worker she is, because a lot of people can get discouraged when you basically can't play the game you love for two straight years. And she didn't. And she's come back and she's felt good. So hopefully that sticks throughout the year. And it's really, really exciting. The other thing on the defensive aspect is, tell me if this is true for you. Okay. I'm like really pleasantly surprised with Rui Machida's defense.
Oh man. First of all, would you want to dribble the ball near Rui Machida?
No.
Would you want to put the ball, even if you were backing her down, would you want, I mean, you think, well, I have some size on her, so I'm going to turn my back on her. She's going to take that ball from you faster than you can think about if she's going to do it or not. I mean, come on, man. She is so tough minded. And the thing about it, with Natasha Cloud being out for health and safety protocols in that game against Vegas, she was thrust into that starting lineup and she was more than ready for that. She had 9 points in the game, but in the game previous to that at Minnesota, she had 4 rebounds, you know, and she's a tiny little thing, and she had 3 assists. So she was making plays and getting stops in that Minnesota game. But in that Vegas game, she knew she had to be relied upon to do more than just distribute and rebound and get stops, whatever. She had to score. So she had those 9 points, and I thought they were very important to the vitality of the win they had. But that pass that she had, oh my gosh, the one overhead.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Bounce pass. I mean, the entire ESA was in that moment, and it was so showtime of her to do that. And when I say showtime, I'm not saying it was arrogant or anything other than just spectacular. I mean, just the skill and the precision of that play. I mean, I thought she was outstanding and much needed. I mean, they needed her to do exactly what she did, which is make plays and score on her own.
Yeah, it was a Magic Johnson pass, a mini Johnson pass. Mini,
it really was, man.
And there is some showtime moments in that game for the Mystics. I mean, I think they're not only in transition, there was just like, I mean, Errol Atkins, I forget when it was. I think it was in the first half. But remember that pass that she stopped the ball like near the elbow and just like whipped one right to Myesha Hines-Allen, who was down the low block, and like threw hands and just like that. There's a level of confidence now on the offensive side with those passes and the chemistry. And you could see, like, you know, a lot of teams talk about when they come into the season, like, oh, this is the best chemistry we've ever had. Oh, this is like, this offense is moving a lot more than we thought it would be, but it's showing up for the Mystics in a big way. Like, it really looks crisp and clean. And I think Rui's a huge part of that. Obviously when Natasha's playing, she has been a huge part of that. I think I wrote about Natasha, Mark Schindler wrote about Natasha. A bunch of other people wrote about Natasha's shooting. But just like the way that they've been able to get into the offense with both Natasha and Rui has been super impressive. And I think one of the things that Rui does that I really, really love is she gets the ball going early. I think I said this like a ton of times on this podcast. Yeah. Like, I want the offense going by at 20 seconds on the shot clock. Our offense should be in well into our first set. And that's what she does. She gets the ball up court. So it's like, okay, we're into the action. We're not setting up our horns set at 20 seconds. We're in the horn set at 20 seconds. Right. Now we have 20 seconds to work with.
Right.
So I think that's been huge. Her defense has been pesky. She's, you know, like I said, she's a little thing. And I think when you have those little guards, they know what they're doing. They're out there for a reason. There's Chris Paul has played in the NBA for those many years because he knows all the little tricks. There's a ton of little guards across basketball, and they know all the little tricks to get steals and all that. So I think Rui's a just a huge part of what this team's doing. Trying to think of who else we need to talk about, because you know, Shakira has been, she's up and down, but I think she's been pretty good. What have you seen from the rookie so far?
I think she's really getting more and more comfortable every practice, every game. We were at the practice yesterday And she just seems to, she knows the challenge that's in front of her. Mm-hmm. And she's not afraid of it, right? She knows that they're going to be up and downs, you know, everybody, not just rookies, but in particular rookies, right? So I think she has embraced that. She's not looking for a perfection. And I don't think anyone else is either with her. But what you do see from her is the will to get better and kind of go through that adversity as a rookie and not cower away from it, not like get frustrated by it, like, oh man, this is fast, or oh man, I thought I had that play, or thought I had that block or that rebound or whatever. You know, she's going to go for it. And I appreciate that, you know, from her, and just that will to compete. And not just on the court against opponents, but compete for minutes, right? She's competing for minutes in practice. She's going hard. I mean, there are no plays off with her offensively or defensively. So I'm just really pleasantly surprised. And it's really hard, especially as a post player, I think, who was used to getting the ball a lot. And I think Mike Thibeau said this as well. Like, you know, the ball went through her. I think she had 30% usage at Ole Miss. So she was getting a lot of touches. The offenses were running through her. And now with the Mystics, she's a screen setter. And your touch may be offensive glass. You know, go get the rebound. But they went to her a couple times directly. But I just think, you know, it's not the same kind of vibe. Like, you're not, you may be the third or fourth option.
Right.
Right. And defensively, you got to have more than just two or three pick and roll coverages. You might have to have five or six. So that's a huge adjustment on both sides. But you have to think faster. It's not, when people say, oh, the game is quicker, sometimes you just think like quicker as in like how fast can you sprint from baseline to baseline. Yeah. I'm like, that's not really what that means. It means you've got to be thinking quickly on the floor, and it's got to be precise. Like, you can think about it and you've got to execute it. Like, you know what to do, but you've got a split second to get it done. And that's what the speed of the game is. When people say, oh, the speed is different on the professional level, it's the thought process that's the difference.
No, I agree with everything you said. I think the one thing, a couple things for her that are big is, like, she's, like you said, not getting discouraged by not getting as many touches, you know, not getting discouraged when she gets beat defensively. I think she's just a player who kind of just keeps it moving. Like, I'm not, whatever, last play, we're going to deal with that when I watch the tape, and I'll get better from that later.
Right.
But she's not going to sit there and say, oh, poor me, I got beat on this, you know, I ran the wrong coverage, or I didn't get the ball in this possession, or whatever, whatever. Like, she's just going to keep it moving, which I think is huge for a rookie. I think she has a great mentality for a rookie. Also, she likes to mix it up. You know, she's a talker. She's going to stand up for her teammates. Like, at the end of that Aces game, De'Erica Hamby kind of gave Katie Benson a little extra on a foul. And then Shakira was right there, you know, in her face, like, try to protect her teammate. After the game, I asked her, like, hey, what was that thing with Hamby? She's like, hey, it ain't no beef. She threw down my teammate. I had to go protect my teammate. And I was like, that's awesome. That's exactly what you want. You want to have that fire. You want to have that edge. I think she has that. She has the right mentality. And then I think the game's going to come to her. I think she's going to be, you know, I think by the end of the season, we're going to see a different player. So, I mean, I'm really impressed with the Mystics overall. Obviously, we didn't mention Mighty Shines Allen. She's been great.
A dog.
Tiana Hawkins, also huge for this team. Like, hasn't played that many minutes yet, but she's getting going, and she's just been huge in terms of, like, connecting the offense, hitting shots, doing all those little things. And obviously, I mentioned Ariel Atkins, but I think she's going to take – I'm still – the one thing I'll say, and let me know if you agree with this, for Ariel Atkins is she talked a lot about in the offseason getting to the rim.
Right.
More. She hasn't quite done that. You know, I want to see her just kind of push her head down. Like, I almost rather her, like, get a charge, like, run over somebody. Just do it. Like, not to, like, injure anybody, but just, like,
just
to get to the rim. And she did in the Aces game. She had a couple possessions where I was like, okay, her eyes were downhill and her intention was downhill. And then that forced the defense to move around, and she was able to get those passes I was talking about. And it was just like, that's what I want to see more, is, like, maybe you're not getting shots at the rim, but your intention is to go to the rim, and then your defense has to adjust to that rather than those pull out shots where she's kind of shooting off balance, and she's great at them, but getting downhill would be huge. Do you think am I right there, or am I off base?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, the spacing that the Mystics have in their offense, I think that really does afford opportunities to do that, but it's all predicated upon how the defense is playing and, you know, that next level. I think obviously she can get by probably her first defender, like her primary defender, but it's that next line. But like you said, she's a great crafty passer as well. Mm-hmm. So when that second line does commit, she's able to still make plays. So I think, you know, we're going to probably see more of that come from her and her attack of the paint and to get in there, not just for scoring capabilities for herself, but scoring capabilities for the team as well.
Yeah. And the last thing I want to mention on this, we're mainly talking about the Mystics Aces game, the Mystics Minnesota game. We'll talk about the Lynx in just a second. We're going to put that off to the side. And then their opening win, who'd they play? Oh, Indiana, which is another team that we may have to talk about on this podcast. Yeah. No, but in the Aces game, like, I just wanted to mention that the Aces did have to travel like 12 hours or something. There was some sort of like crazy travel, which always happens when there's a Mystics Aces game. Something's going to go wrong when the Mystics play the Aces. So, you know, maybe we shouldn't take that much from it for either team. Just like the travel does affect your stamina. I think it affected the Aces a lot in that second half. I think, you know, to a certain extent, yeah, I think you can view it as an excuse for the Aces, or not an excuse, just like a reason why something's happened. But I also think like what we saw from the Mystics was real, and then what we saw from the Aces may not be as real, if that makes sense.
Sorry about that.
That's fair.
I think that's fair. I mean, when you're breaking it down, I mean, you don't want to say excuses. So I appreciate you saying but it is, you know, reality, and it is part of what happened with them. But also at halftime, the Mystics kind of shored up their defense and, you know, really got more focused on the game plan. And so it's probably a little bit of both.
Yeah.
So it's not just one or the other thing, but I think it's a little bit of both things.
I agree. All right. I got nothing else on the Mystics at the moment. I mean, we're obviously going to talk about the Mystics all the time because that's a team we could both cover here in the DMV.
Right.
Anything else we want to mention about the Mystics?
Yeah, just with that Shakira and Kate Benson situation. Mike Tebow said something really funny, and we'll probably share it on air tonight too, because it was great. But he said after the game, he came in and he said, hey Shakira, Katie told me that she was fine taking care of herself. You didn't need to do that. And I was like, and Katie was like, wait a minute, I didn't say that. Like, wait. So that's the kind of vibe, you know. They have a real good connection, a really good connection, and you know, they're just fun people to be around. And Mike Tebow said that verbatim. Like, they're just fun people. And when you can joke like that and say things and get a laugh, you know. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, no, I told Katie after the game, like, oh, you outscored Asia Wilson. And Alicia Clark goes, yeah, like from behind me and started yelling. I was like, yes, the vibes on this team are there. You know, I don't want to compare this team too much to that 2019 team, but it is kind of that vibe. They feel very together, very, very close. So we also should mention, let's not get ahead of ourselves, because I feel like we've done this for a while. Like, the Mystics look good, and we're like, oh, when this player comes back and this player comes back and it's gonna be healthy and they're gonna win the championships. It's like, this is good, this is great.
Yeah,
let's keep it in front of us. This is three games to start the season. Atlanta looks great. I think she's gonna be it looks good. I just don't want to jinx it. I don't want to get like too excited, because I know we're prone to do that with the Mystics.
Oh, and Kennedy Burke also is a player who the Mystics are waiting on, and Elizabeth Williams, and now Natasha Cloud. Mm-hmm. So I think they said that with Clark coming back today, they were going to let go of Stephanie Jones.
Oh, okay.
So because she was the last one that they signed, so she would have to be the first one to go.
I see.
But I don't know if that's official yet. Did that happen already?
Yes, that just happened. Looking across the timeline here, says the Washington released Stephanie Jones. Also, just to save Curtis, the having to say this all the time on Twitter, if you're watching this on whatever, when you a hardship contract gets released because the person does not have to go through waivers. If you're on a different type of contract, rest of the season, standard, whatever, you have to be waived because you have to go through waivers, which is a 48-hour process where a team can claim your contract. So that's the difference in verbiage. And He's just brought that up a ton of times. Him and Richard Cohen always bring up the little minutia like that. So
you're a lawyer, you know that too, though.
I don't really care. This is basketball.
That's just, you know, the way it goes.
I have a bigger problem when there's like someone like misdiagnosing a play, which I do all the time. Like I'm like, oh, this is a twist. No, it's not. Or this is a twirl. No, it's not. Gabe, you're wrong. So that's kind of verbiage that makes me mad. But regardless, we digress into talking about real basketball. You want to get onto the Lynx?
Yeah, because there's a lot to unpack with them, man. And wow, right?
Yeah.
You can start, actually, because I'm still marinating on the whole situation.
Okay, let's tell people what happened first off.
Yeah, tell me what happened and then we'll chime in.
Okay, so the Minnesota Lynx in Sylvia Fowles' last year, they started off tough. I forget what their last game was. It was not good. They lost to
0-3, right?
They are 0-3. They lost to the Fever. Shouts to the Fever. 1/6 of the way to Christie's prediction that they would have six one wins down by the All-Star break. And the Fever, they're pretty good.
They're tough.
They're a little bit more ready than I thought they'd be.
Boom. Now
okay, we'll debate it. But back to the league. So they lose that game to the Fever. They're 0-3. It's been tough, obviously. But yeah, they responded by buying out Andrew McCautry's contract, and waiving Odyssey Sims,
right,
who they picked up right before the season. Andrew McCautry was a big free agent signing in the offseason. And then they signed Avina Westbrook. It was originally reported that was a hardship contract. It's not a hardship contract. It's actually a rest of the season deal.
Right.
So Avina's going to be there. And then they also brought in Mariah Jefferson on what I'm assuming is also a rest of the year deal. If there's corrections for that, we will have them on herhoopstats.com. So just go to like the cap situation for each of the teams, because we don't actually know what that buyout was for McCautry. So I don't necessarily know how this all is going to affect their cap space, but it certainly affects their team in a big way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Angel was supposed to be a big part of this. And I think one of the things that's happened is Natalie Achonwa got hurt.
Yes.
And she's out indefinitely. It might be a month. It might be longer. It might be shorter. I think it's a soft muscle injury, which is the worst. So, you know, hoping for the best for Achonwa. I think maybe they just needed space is like my explanation here is like, well, yeah, Angel costs too much for us to bring in other people. And she, you know, Angel doesn't quite look as the player that she used to be. She may have something lined up, you know, maybe she goes, this is not sourced or anything. Maybe she goes back to Atlanta or something. Could happen. So Angel didn't look quite like the player that she used to be. And I think for Minnesota just turned out to be a situation where they needed that cap space. So that's like my generous explanation here. The other explanation here is, I don't know what the heck Minnesota is doing. Because they released Crystal Dangerfield before the season.
Yeah.
They released Ryan Davis. And they had to do some of these moves because that's just the way the cookie crumbled.
Right.
These were not the way the cookie crumbled situations. I'm not sure if it's an overreaction. So, I mean, like that could be this reaction to how the team looked in the first three games.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Maybe this was just a reaction to the injuries. I don't know. Very difficult for me to make sense of this. All I know is that it is not good right now in Minnesota.
No, my first thought definitely was for Sylvia Fowles. Like, this is her final year. And so I just feel like it's going to be tougher, obviously, for her to do what she wants to do in her final WNBA professional season. But at the same time, it is a business. And I think what you said makes sense just with Angel's contract. But at the same time, you know, in reading Angel's statement, it was almost like she concurred with what you were saying about her not looking the same. But for me, I'm like, man, break a sweat. You know what I mean? Like, break a sweat, get some minutes under your belt, get back in rhythm. You know, in three games is such less than an appetizer size opportunity, but I understand financially that is what it is. So there are some things we're not privy to understanding in terms of the business side of things. So we're not like saying right, wrong, or otherwise, but just observing what it looks like. And then hearing Angel say, you know, I need to get my body better in condition. I need to, you know, take that time, and I still have more to give to the game. So hearing her perspective, I thought really rounded it out for me that maybe she wasn't quite at peak performance level, and her contract was, and they had to do some modifications because of that. So as tough as that is to do, which I mean, that's incredibly tough. And then to have, you know, three players sitting right there as assistant coaches, right? With Rebecca Brunson, Katie Smith, and Planette Pearson. Like, they understand too the business of it. And they understand, you know, the tough side of the mm-hmm. business too. And it was just hard to read that. It was pretty shocking. Didn't see it coming at all. And my first knee-jerk reaction with Angel was like, she didn't get a chance. She didn't get a chance to like get right, you know? But again, you know, it's early enough in the season where hopefully she can land somewhere and give the game all she has. That's what she said. She's like, I want to give this game all I have. I want to, you know, I still have more to give. So with that approach, I'm sure someone will take a chance on her, because there's so much movement right now that I think this has been the most movement at this juncture. It just feels like it. Or maybe it's just the names of the movement. There are a lot of big name players that have been shuffled and moved.
No, I agree with you. I think this has been more movement. I mean, you know, it's tough because there's a lot, like every year there's a lot of people coming in and out from Europe, obviously, but I'm with you. I think this is just it feels a little bit more important. There's more important players, I think, moving around.
Big names. Yeah.
Big names. But, you know, and it's important to note though, like with Angel, like this is not just a situation where they just cut her, right?
Right.
She had to agree to the buyout.
She did.
So there is a certain aspect of, you know, she did at least sign off with the idea of her not being on the Minnesota Lynx anymore.
Right.
I don't know what that means. I don't know. I'm with you though. I'm just kind of sad. I don't think this is it. I don't think this is it for Angel. I think she's going to be somewhere. It's just that knee injuries have been so tough. I mean, she looked really good in the bubble with Vegas. She looked really not like the Angel of old, but certainly a player that can help. And then just like not being able to play last year, coming in this year, not quite being ready. I don't know. It's tough. And it is tough to get ready in this league too. Cause like
it's
boom, boom, boom. And then, your off-season opportunities are a little bit more prescribed, and it's just like, it is tough. And we saw how tough it was for Elena Delton to get back, obviously different injuries, but you know, it's really, really tough to get back into shape in this league and be ready to play. And because it's such a short season, you don't really have that situation that you can have in the NBA where it's like, okay, you know, this guy's going to play himself into shape after not playing. And then exactly. Right. That's what's tough about it. It's like, that's what I hate about it. It's like, you're coming in and immediately it has to be competitive because there's only 34 games. So it's like, you can't have like a 10 game stretch where you're not ready to play. Yeah. So from that aspect, I do understand where the Lynx went with it. I feel bad. It just hurts as a fan.
It's hard. And just to see her, you know, trying to mount that comeback, and you know, you look at all the videos that she had over the fall and like how she was getting physically ready for the season. Mm-hmm. And then to be picked up, you know, by Minnesota, it was like, yeah, Angel, you know, like, look at you, like, you persevered, you know, you're back out there, been resilient with it. And then, you know, and this happens, and it's no slight. I mean, Cheryl Reeve is an excellent coach and GM. Like, she understands the business probably better than anybody. And so it's not a slight to her. And I know that was a tough decision for her. I'm sure it wasn't like a cut dry situation. I'm sure she was like wrenching her brain, mm-hmm. trying to find another way other than that to make it work. And it just wasn't feasible. So I'm sure. And again, I would never want to, you know, make that kind of choice. And I know, you know, I would do it if I had to do it, but I know that is just, you know, that's hard to do. That's very difficult, you know, knowing what she's come through to get to this point, you know, so.
Well, you kind of have to be, unfortunately, cold and calculating. I mean, you know, you gotta, it's about wins. I think the Lynx, you know, I've defended the job that, cause I saw some people saying like Cheryl Reeve hasn't done that great of a job in the last 3 years. I'm like, guys, she's competing. And she just lost, like, she lost the best player in the league, in Maya Moore. She lost the two other players who made up the, to the best dynasty we've seen in this league since the Houston Comets, right? Like, that team with Waylon and Augustus, like, that team was awesome. And then all those players are not there anymore. And then suddenly this team is kind of thrust into a situation where it's like, oh, it's the twilight of Sylvia Fowles' career. Oh, we have now the piece of Collier. We got this great player that we just picked up in the middle of the draft. And like, I think people were like, oh, they should tank or, like, you know, rebuild. It's like, you're not going to rebuild when you have the best, one of the best centers in the league. Sylvia Fowles won the defensive player of the year last year. Right. And this team was like, I mean, I think they've been pretty close to competing and getting to a championship level at times. And it's just like, so I think she has done a good job. I think she, it's just tough when you're in the situation of like, okay, we're moving on from our franchise, what it was, to what it will be. But we're still in this middle part here where it's like, we don't quite know. So maybe this is the start of building towards this end, the future end, rather than trying to maintain what the franchise was. So I don't know. I know that was a like scrambled thoughts, but
no, that was perfectly stated. And I think, you know, with Nafisa Collier, you know, being maxed, you know, recently being maxed, I think that just tells the whole story with what they are looking to do. And weren't they a 3 seed last year in the playoffs?
Something like that.
I don't have it in front of me or anything, but I'm vaguely remembering that they were a 3 seed in the playoffs. So, I mean, they're doing the best they can. And Nafisa Collier is out having a baby any minute now, you know, and she'll make her way back to the floor as a new mom and fiercely so. So I just, you know, you just have to trust the decisions that are being made by GMs and coaches, because they know the game inside out. They're the experts. That's why they're doing what they do. And they're trying to make it work out. Like you said, big picture wise, not just for this minute, they're looking forward and they're trying to build that way and not rebuild, but build, right? Yeah. They want to build. So I think that's what's happening in Minnesota.
Yeah. I do question all, I question GMs all the time though. That's kind of, like a big part of my job. I try, but with Cheryl Reeve, I give a lot of, leeway too, because just I've been impressed. Like you said, they were a 3 seed last year's playoffs. The year before that, they got to the semifinals as a 4 seed. Right. And it's like, you know, the year before that was the last year that they had that what you would consider their franchise before that point. And they were out in the first round. So it's like we're very shortly removed from that team being what it was, and we still haven't gotten to what that team will be around Nafisa Collier.
Right.
So we'll see. I mentioned that they brought in Mariah Jefferson and Vina Westbrook, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
I like those. The Jefferson sign, I think, is going to be big, because Mariah Jefferson can play when she's healthy. She's a really good player. Dallas is just going in a different direction. And I think that's what, I don't think that was like a talent issue. It was more like they're just going younger. They're already in that future aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have Westbrook as a first rounder at times in my mock draft, and I'm a fan. I think he fits in perfectly with the Lynx too. So I think those are two big signings, really.
Yeah, I like those two in terms of fit and what they're capable of doing and what Cheryl Reeve is expecting of them. So I think that's going to be fun to watch as the season progresses. But, you know, hard decisions had to be made, and she made them. So I give her credit for the courage to do that and not just say, well, if we do this, this could happen, and not do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She's like, if we do this, this could happen, and we're going to do it. So, right. You know, you got to be tough minded, and you got to make the hard choices and business. And that's what she did. So anxiously waiting to see what it looks like as maybe at the All-Star break. That's that's my mark. Like, what do they look like now? Like, okay, we did this, we made these moves, and now mid-season, what is that panned out to be?
And they're also missing, you know, arguably their second best player this year, Kaylin McBride. I don't know, actually, it may not be arguable. She is the second best player on this team.
Happy. Yeah. Yeah.
So when she comes back, it's a different look too. And they've really missed her shot making, her ability to run the offense too. So I think the Lynx, they'll be all right. They'll be back. Mm-hmm. They'll be back. And then maybe not in like the top four, but I think they're going to be in the playoffs is what I'd say.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what?
For sure.
I'm going to make it a sticky note. I'm going to make it a sticky note.
But the sticky note. Hey, where's mine last time? Is it?
I got it here. I can't put him on the wall. I can't put him on the wall. But I will put links. What's today? What's today's date? The
May 13th.
May 13th. Gabe. Links in playoffs.
We need
I will, I will figure out a way to display this. Also, just like while we're here and I'm writing. If there's any artists out there like watching this, like the walls in my office are bare. I have no art. I made the bookshelf look really nice.
You did.
I have no art. So if like I want to like pay people to create basketball art for me. So if there's people out there that would want to do that, let me know.
Hey, I know Deladon has that.
Oh, the crafts.
She's like that carpentry, and I know there's like that. It's really graphic looking, and it's like a hoop.
Oh.
I don't know how much it costs though, but check it out.
That might be out of my price range.
I know, but you never know. You know,
young and up and coming artist Elena Deladon. Okay, I have a trio of things that I want to mention here. Okay. I want to talk about the Atlanta Dream. I want to talk about the Indiana Fever. I want to talk about the Chicago Sky.
Yes.
So choose your own adventure. Where are we going here?
I want to go with the Chicago Sky first.
Okay.
From those trio of teams. And boy, did they splinter the New York Liberty by plus 30 points. I mean, they look so good. And why does Emma Mieseman look so strong and great? I mean, she's always great. But she looked so strong in that game, man. And Candace Parker was feeding her at will in that game. And she was just going to work. I was like, oh, man, look at Emma, like, in her prime right now. She looked great.
No, and is it just me or does she still look weird? Like, Jen and I always mention this. Like, every time we see Emma in the Chicago, it still looks weird, right?
It's weird to start. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think that happens with any player who like shifts and moves, especially playoff Emma, the MVP of the 2019 finals. Yeah, you kind of just always picture her in a Mystics jersey, but she looks really good in Chicago and they have great balance. They have the youth movement, but they also have some really strong vets. Candace Parker said this may be her last year. You know, we're talking about Sylvia Fowles, but Candace Parker, I mean, she is such a great leader. And just a phenomenal coach on the floor, you know, like you just see her going to the bench for timeouts and she is engaging with her other four teammates that she has out on the court with her. And it's just, it's really fun to watch. It's really, really fun to watch someone come into themselves that way and be a mature leader and have the eyeballs of all their four teammates. And no one's looking like, oh, here goes Candace. Mm-hmm. And they're all like, yep, I got you. Boom, 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 boom. And they're like right there with her. They're right there with her. And I'd love to see that.
I think they may have one of the best passing front courts ever in basketball. Like the three, like Candace Parker, Emma Mieseman, Azrae Stevens, those three, the cutting, the passing, just like the shot making too. The defense has been great too. Like the defense has been really, really good, but just the passing. And like, it's just like a lot of times I'm watching this game, I'm like, the passing is just wonderful. It's like they just understand everything about what they're trying to do. And it's really interesting to see how like easily Emma's fit into the chemistry of this team. Like there hasn't been any situations where I'm like, oh, it's Emma getting used to it. Like, she seems used to it. She seems into it. And especially with Courtney Vandersloot, like one of the best passing teams I think we've seen in basketball, just like brilliant passing. And like, how about Dana Evans? How about her?
Exactly. That's exactly who I was talking about, where Candace was saying, like, if you go there, that's going to be there. She's like, I got you. And she was right with Candace. That's what the total example I was picturing when I was talking about them walking to the timeout huddle. And wow, she is just been fantastic for this team. I talk about a player who's matured competitively. That's Dana Evans. Like, she's been like just awesome.
it's the shot. The shot making's there, but it's also what you're saying. Like she's gotten weight. She's gotten. Turns out, hanging out with Candace Parker makes you a better basketball player. Turns out,
yeah.
And Courtney Vandersloot and Allie Quigley and James Wade and that whole organization. Like,
listen.
And you know, another thing here too is like I always like to keep track of this early in the season. Is like mm-hmm. the team that wins the championship. The Mystics obviously did not get a chance to like build on their championship. But the Sky have, and when you win a championship and you come back next season, there's just a different confidence. There's a different swagger. Like there's a different like feel. Like we know what we're doing. We are the champions. Like we have a very good understanding of who we are. And I think this team is just like everyone's contributing. I mean, Rebecca Gardner, her first WNBA game, 14 points and 6 of 9 shooting, 4 rebounds, an assist and 2 steals. It's like, she just came in and did that.
Right. Like, okay, no, cool. I love her game and she has no fear either. And she is so quick mm-hmm. at getting to the rim and getting by people and just very smart too. I mean, like you said, I mean, James Wade has it all right there. He has so many great leaders on the floor who can, you know, push his game plan forward and execute it to perfection. And you know, when you have those leaders on the court, it makes it easy for Gardner to come in there and, mm-hmm. and just be calm in those moments because she knows what she's doing and she knows why she's doing certain things. So I think that was really showing and proving in their first couple of games here.
And you want to know something? We haven't mentioned Allie Quigley because she has not played. So she's going to be back tonight. And just finals MVP, Kalia Copper is also coming back from Spain. They're done in Spain is what I she won MVP.
So, it's close. Yeah.
She won MVP over there too, because that's just what she does. It's just what she does now. She's just going to win all the MVPs that are available. So yeah, Chicago, the champs, I think are looking pretty, pretty good. I think we both had them on top of our power rankings or close to the top of our power rankings.
Close to the top, I think we have Vegas, and then it was Chicago, which is very interesting because, I mean, this is before we saw anybody play any games, but just on paper, that's what we were looking at. But Vegas, I mean, they're a tough team, and, you know, Becky Hammon really has them playing in a different space and pace and all that, and pushing the threes and getting the ball inside. I mean, I still have fresh stats in my head, but just, you know, I think it was 28% of their offense comes mm-hmm. from threes this year, where before it was always get the ball inside to the two post players, you know.
Makes me so happy. Makes me so happy. I see Aces shooting threes and Asia Wilson shooting threes. And they're flying. They are going. They're it's off makes too. Like Kelsey Plum looks like she's been shot out of a rocket. Like she plays angry in the best of times. I don't know what happened this year, but she is upset at someone or something, or just has something in her head is pushing her to go as fast as I've seen her. But you know, hey, well, Aces, we're gonna talk about you, and we'll wait till you do something good so we can say some nice things. All right, Fever Dream, where do you want to go?
Let's go with the Dream, because we haven't really talked about them. We talked with Fever a little bit about how they're, you know, on pace for my wins total by all-star break. So let's go with the Dream. I mean, you know, we haven't really talked about them at all. I know they beat Dallas on opening weekend, and that was a low scoring game. I believe it was 66-59 or 58.
Yeah.
So not a lot of points on the board, but they did what they needed to do defensively. And I think that's what this Atlanta Dream team is going to be known for. They're going to be known for being tough on defense right now.
Yeah, so they beat the Wings in Dallas 66-59, and then they beat the Sparks 77-75. Man, Ryan Howard, the truth. I mean, we said a lot of great things about Shakir Austin. Honestly, you know, you look at the Mystics roster and you understand why they made that trade. I think they did need, they needed, and they are a championship looking team, right? They needed someone in the front court a little bit more than they needed a wing.
Right.
That being said, Ryan Howard looks just incredible. I said it before the season too. I said it in all my drafts, in all my draft analysis, she is ready to come in and be a competent WNBA wing. Well, she's come in and been like a really, really, really good WNBA wing. She's blocking shots. Mm-hmm. She's hitting three. She's doing everything. And it's like,
I don't think this is just like an example of a rookie coming in and no one knows much about her. I think this is just the player that she is.
Yeah, no, she is incredibly tough-minded, and her mentality on draft night should have told you everything you needed to know. If you've ever heard her speak or say anything before, you knew that she was ready for this moment, and you knew that she had worked hard for this moment, and here she is, and she is just showing the best of herself so far for the Atlanta Dream, and they want that from her, and she's just been able to bring it and be consistent early on. I know it's early and to say to be consistent, but you know, she's been consistent and she's been efficient. And you have to look at that moving forward for a rookie, right, to come in and not miss a beat. I mean, it's been a seamless transition to the league for her.
Yeah, and the team is just ready. Like I said it before the season, they still are missing Tiffany Hayes, by the way, who is the team's best player. Although we'll see, maybe Ryan Howard's already their best player. I don't know.
Tip
is really, really good, folks. And so like this team, I'd said before the season, I was like, you know, this team's pretty good. Like they got real players who are understand what to do. They can play defense. They're going to come in and, you know, they have a new coach. Yeah. So Tanisha Wright has to get them used to what she wants to do, but they look crisp. Yeah. They look crisp. Yeah. They look ready. We'll see kind of what they do, you know, heading forward, but I'm just really excited because of how good Ryan Howard's been. And also, I don't know, have you seen like Ryan Howard and Naz Hillman like on social media doing stuff together?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, they were AAU teammates, I believe.
Okay. I didn't know that because they seem like best friends already. I was like,
yeah. Or they were, I don't know if it's AAU. There was, see, now it's in my head. I don't know if that's, it was either AAU or something with USA Basketball or something like that. But they became really good friends. But they've had, you know, a prior friendship, you know, where they were teammates and everything. So I'm sure they were happy when they got there. They're like, oh my God, we're going to Atlanta. You know, it's like girls trip. But no, they just have really good camaraderie. And I think when you have, you know, prior relationships with players that you've played with, you understand their chemistry, you understand where they want the basketball, what they want to do when they get it in their sweet spot. So I think it's really fun to watch those young ones. Yeah. And I love Naz, so you know that. Like I've followed her since she was a freshman at Michigan. And so just to see her there and thriving and sticking on the roster is really awesome.
They're on TikTok all the time, or as you like to call it, TikTok. Yes, they're on the TikTok often. So I see them like doing a little dip, and I'm like, all right, this is fun. I didn't know they did play USA Basketball together. I don't know. I mean, they look like they're just like already best friends, which is fantastic. Good.
Yeah. Them. Yeah.
But what a difference to like last year, this team that Atlanta had a lot of talent. It's just never, they didn't have the right chemistry. And it's like this year, they just seem like, you know, generally have better vibes. Yeah. I think Dan Padover, it's just two games. It's two games, folks. So we'll see how it goes. But I think they've done a good job of just like resetting the culture, flipping the script and moving forward with their franchise. And I think they did a really good job with that.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think, you know, the choices that they had in the draft and the fact that they basically kept them all there from who they chose. I mean, they obviously had a poignant direction that they wanted to go in. And it's showing right now with their 2-0 start.
Yeah, no, two games looking good. Two games, two wins. That's not bad over a team that a lot of people think is going to be in the playoffs, but LA will, maybe we'll go negative next week. We're really positive this week, so maybe we'll go negative. Speaking of positive, though, the Indiana Fever won a game.
Hey,
and I don't mean to be facetious. I mean, we said it. As much as we disagreed on how good the Fever are going to be, I think we both agreed that they kind of did what Atlanta did too. Is like they flipped the script, they moved their franchise forward, and they put it in the hands of some rookies that are very talented and ready to go. And I think, you know, we're seeing that Destiny Henderson looks great. Emily Angster is doing Emily Angster things. Melissa Smith still, you know, I think she has a long way to go, you know, in terms of being like the fully formed version of herself, but she looks good. You know, Queen Egbo been a little bit better than I thought she'd be, certainly defensively. She got injured though. I'm not sure how that's affecting her. And Alana Smith playing well. Lexi Hall playing decently well too. So it's like, I like it. I'm not with you. I'm still not with you on the six wins
before All-Star. Almost.
But
They're better than I will give you credit. They are more ready to play in the WNBA than I thought they would be.
Yeah. And, you know, when they were here in DC for the home opener for the Mystics, I caught up with Marion Stanley and she said, you know, we're super young, but that doesn't matter. I mean, they have to go through this experience to gain the experience. Right. And she is a savant. I mean, she's going into the Naismith National Basketball Hall of Fame in September. So, I mean, she has the pedigree and the understanding of what it takes to be a pro. And Lynn Dunn marked those players in particular to come in and be hard-nosed and to be ready to compete. And will they be perfect? Maybe not. But it's not going to be for lack of effort. It's not going to be for lack of pushing through instead of leaning back from, you know, the challenge that's in front of them. And that's to get better. And, you know, the fans are waiting for that in Indiana. That was, I read a lot of articles prior to that game. Fans are waiting for them to get back, right? Mm-hmm. Lynn Dunn wants them to be a defensive-minded team. And then you have Marion Stanley right there, who was coach of the year in the WNBA back in 2002. I mean, she has, and won a championship, right?
So, with Mystics so long
in 2019. Yeah, it feels like it. But, you know, she understands the journey of it all and the process of it all. And she knows that those players can get it done. And not that that's going to be undefeated season, but I think it's going to be, you know, every day, can you get better? Every practice, can you get better? And I think that's the progression she wants to see. And then that's why I said, you know, by All-Star break, they're going to have more wins than people will think they will have because of the work they're going to put in every single day. I get my words out, trying to go too fast. But yeah, I'm impressed. You know, I was impressed with the draft class. They kept five of their seven picks from WNBA draft night. And they're super young, but they're tough-minded youngsters. They're ready for the battle and they want it. It's not like they're shying away or afraid of it or they're not quite ready. No, they want it. And they're going to make some mistakes along the way, but it's not going to be because, you know, they're afraid.
They get up. They get up when they hit the mat. Yeah. Well, literally, as we saw with Lexi Hall, shouts to Lexi Hall for embracing getting absolutely thrown to the floor by Natasha Cloud. That was tough luck. But she got back up. She finished the play. She like played defense the rest of the possession. And that's what this team does. So I said it wrong, by the way. I think I said that the Fever beat the Sparks. That's not true. The Fever beat the Lynx, as we just talked about earlier. And then the Sparks had lost to Atlanta, which was the other team we're talking about. So sorry for the confusion. But the Fever, like in that game against the Sparks, there's a lot of times where they had a batted ball and it would be going and you know, it just didn't go their way. And there's a lot of times where they could have made that game closer than it was. And I think it was a 10-point, it was a 10-point margin, but it was closer than that, in my opinion. Like they were really close to like making real plays to win that game. I was really impressed with them. I think they fight their... They're not really afraid of the moment, which is good. I think it's necessary. And I think they are going to be bad. I think they will finish with the worst record in the league.
No.
But it is more encouraging, I think. It will be, like you're saying, it'll be more encouraging than perhaps that sounds right now. I think they have built, they have a roster that can be built for the future. And I think, you know, a lot of these players look like real players that are more ready than I at least expected. So,
yeah, Chrissy, I agree.
Christy was more right at the moment.
Yay.
We'll see. We'll see. It's still at the All-Star break. Don't get too cocky.
Give me one, though. Give me one.
We have to we have to come up with something like a playoff, a payoff for this.
A board? Oh, payoff? Are we talking cash?
No, we're not talking cash.
Oh, well, darn it.
Although, if you want to talk cash, again, spread the floor. That's our betting stuff.
That's good. That my personal pockets, right? We're not talking about.
We'll do like some sort of weird, like, oh, you have to wear a hat or I don't know. You have to eat a hot dog during the, I don't know. We'll figure out something. The starters, basketball Jones folks, they have stuff. So maybe we'll just steal some bits from them.
Yeah, I like that. I'm down. Put me down for that. I'm good.
We gotta come up with something for all these sticky notes. We'll see if the Lynx make the playoffs. I need better sticky notes too. If anyone has recommendations on that, my sticky notes don't stick to my wall. Look, I'll put one up here. This is yours. Sticky. Oh wait, no, it has to be closer. No wait, where do I go?
Okay. Yeah, back there, right there. Yay!
Does it stick?
It's up.
This thing's performing, because I swear I put it up on the wall and it was on the ground by the time I turned around. We'll see. I'm going to keep it up there. I have it behind me.
See how long it stays up there.
All right. Anything else you want to mention about the actual games?
Oh, man. I'm just excited that the season is going. And I'm just hoping that everyone stays healthy. I know Natasha Cloud is out, health and safety protocols. And then Epiphany Prince and Brianna Stewart, too. I just hope that, you know, everyone's vaccinated and all that. But, you know, when they're flying and everything, just hopefully everyone takes those precautions. I mean, I have that plastic shield that I got from the beauty supply store that I wear when I fly. And it just be safe with everybody, not just because the WNBA players are flying with you, but everyone else too. I mean, it's still a pandemic out there. So it's just a little scary, I guess. Just to think that we felt like we were getting through it and, you know, making progress. And then it just feels like, you know, two steps forward, one step back. Right now with the pandemic.
Wear a mask. It's not that hard, folks. It's
not really, that hard.
It's really not that hard.
just be safe.
I'm gonna get my second booster soon. I think I'm eligible.
Yeah, I need to do that too. It's just, you know, you're around a lot of people, and you know, my son's playing AAU basketball, and you know, it's like just in the gym and on planes traveling with him and stuff. And so there's a lot. And in the arenas, it's a lot, you know, that you're exposed to. So I mean, better safe than sorry. And even if we've seen it, even if you're vaccinated, you can still be positive with COVID. Mm-hmm. So it's really scary. So hopefully everyone's staying safe. And hopefully those young ladies who are in the health and safety protocols are back on the floor and healthy and ready to compete for the rest of the season. So it's just fortunate to hear that, especially for Cloud here in DC. You know, she was just coming off the mic drop game. That's what I call it.
Yeah.
19 points and took the mic from Roz Bolamwude, who just signed again for ESPN. So I'm excited for her. Yeah. So, but just, you know, that momentum of that moment kind of had to, you know, shelf it for a week or two. So hopefully everyone's back and healthy soon. So yeah. That's my two cents.
And on that note, we do want to mention the Brittany Griner situation. There was an update today that her detention was extended in Russia by 30 days. I mean, this is kind of from my very limited understanding of how these things work, this is like to be expected, which is just sad and awful and terrible. And the reason we put this at the end of the podcast, because I can't really talk about it without becoming extremely uncomfortable and sad and kind of depressed about it. But she's, you know, the people that talked to her said that she's good, all things considered. So at least there's that. This has become more of a hostage situation than I think, you know, was previously reported. It's being treated as that by the US government, and there seems to at least be movement on the front of negotiations. So, you know, hopefully this moves forward. Again, we are not the people to ask about the situation, because we talk about basketball, and this is definitely something that is not basketball. I'm a lawyer, and this is definitely not something that we ever talked about in law school. So it's like, read the people who know what they're talking about. I think TJ Quinn, I believe, is the man from ESPN who's covering this.
Yes.
Follow him, because he has kind of gotten the beat on this and been talking to people. So, you know, we don't know what's happening, but just our thoughts and prayers are with BG, her family, the Mercury, the WNBA family, just everyone. We just hope you're staying in positive spirits, and we're sending good vibes to BG, and hopefully this is behind us sooner rather than later.
I mean, the reminder of having her number and her name on every single home court, you know, is just a small way to know that what the WNBA is doing is more than, right? I mean, we're more than being stuck over there, and then for them to extend it, it's just really disheartening. And it's like you said, it's depressing, and it's really sad, because we feel hopeless and powerless, because we can't do anything, you know, to help get her here legally. And that's scary to think of it that way. And I know, you know, her family, her friends, teammates, all of us fans, it's really been difficult that she's been over there for 85, 86 days. It's really painful to think about. So definitely sending prayers, well wishes, and calming of spirits. I mean, mm-hmm. that's really what it comes down to. And that's going to make me sad.
No.
Even more so, because I know, just knowing that, you know, she had to leave the bubble because it was tough for her to be in that environment. Yeah. But, and she's around people that she knows. So that's always what I think about. Like, you know, everybody is different in that way and how they handle, you know, isolation. And when you're isolated with your teammates, and that's tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just thinking of her, like, to be isolated in an environment where she has no one. So anyway,
it's very tough.
So that's really hard. But definitely, yeah. Thanks to Kathy Engelbert for keeping it in front of all of us. Thanks for her family for, you know, allowing us to, you know, to love on BG and to really wish for everything good coming out of that horrible situation and scary situation. So, yeah. So, you can go ahead and send it off this time because my voice.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I understand. Again, this is why we put it. It's not, we don't put this at the end because we don't like feel like it's important. We put it at the end because it's very difficult. Yeah. Talk about, and we're not people that have the answers. I'm not sure anyone does. So we just want her to be home and safe, and, you know, we're wishing the best to her family. I know her wife just graduated from law school, so congratulations on that. That's a difficult process, so getting through it is big, and, you know, BG will be back to celebrate that soon enough. I'm sure BG will be back soon enough. So hopefully, you know, sending all the vibes, sending our full hearts to BGs and their full hearts, all of you guys for listening. You know, we hope you're staying healthy, safe, and enjoying this WNBA season. We're going to be here the rest of the year, obviously talking hoops, talking everything that has to do with WNBA. Got a long season ahead of us. Christy, yeah. you got the game tonight. We have like a week off from Mystics, right?
They're on the road. They travel and then they come back. So they have Dallas kind of back to back. The home and home there, and then they're back next Friday.
So we'll be talking about the Mystics. Christy's gonna have to go to Hampton for basketball tournament. So if you're at that basketball tournament, say what's up. I will be here with my parents who are coming into town, and my grandma. So I was furiously cleaning my house, and I wonder if she's gonna mention this if it is still on the wall when she comes here. Regardless, everyone, we hope you have a great day. This is Courtside. So for Christy Winterscott, I'm Gabe Ibrahim. We'll talk to you soon.